It is The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Senior day tomorrow for Illini basketball. We'll play some sound. Both Coleman Hawkins, Marcus DeMass, both met with the media, along, of course, with Quincy Guerrier, Justin Harmon, Max Williams as well. But I definitely want to get Coleman in there. True four-year senior at Illinois. Been a big part of this resurgence and sustainability, everything that Illinois has been wanting here. Coleman has been one of the guys to see it through, and that's been really cool. And then obviously Marcus, as we talked about in the first hour, you can't talk enough about Marcus and what he's doing for Illinois. I was looking at some of the portal rankings, and I tweeted about it after the game, but
I saw this.
Evan Maya had, I think a lot of it is not even just bias in terms of someone saying, okay, this guy's going to do great. Some of it has an analytical context to it, but 115th was his ranking in the portal. And at 24/7 Sports, the company I work for, had him 108th. I didn't have any part of that.
That's crazy. So, after scoring 1,600 points.
I know.
That is just a total lack of respect for the Missouri Valley.
It is.
It's point blank, slap in the face to the Valley. I mean, you've got a guy going into his fifth year that scored over 1,600 points and is probably, well, not probably, will be a Saluki Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And you're he's like the 105th best player. It's like, come on. And I mean, luckily, I don't care about all that crap.
No, but it's more so of
and that Brad Underwood doesn't care about all that.
Yes.
He saw the fit, right, and said, that's the guy we need.
Yeah, and I think that it just gives you kind of that fun reference point of that's kind of what the national perspective of was on him. Not even if some people didn't have, oh, well, you know, he's the 108th best transfer, but I think he was a type of get that, you know, when people saw Matthew Meyer was going to Illinois, everybody knew who Matthew Meyer was.
Yes.
Even if you weren't an Illinois fan. If
yep.
you were out.
Good call. That's a good call.
North Carolina, the Tar Heels were recruiting him. And Marcus DeMass would have been different as far as moving the needle nationally, as far as the attention. And I'm not trying to knock him. I'm just saying that in hindsight, though, he was maybe one of the more underrated transfer gets in the country as far as how he was viewed when he went to Illinois versus now. Name 10 guys have been more impactful. I don't think you can.
Well,
have been transfers.
And I'm kind of ripping on your.
Go ahead.
Everybody.
I didn't rank him.
Right. I'm not, like you eloquently point out there. I don't know if eloquently, but you did it well. The idea that if you're living in North Carolina, you don't know probably SIU that well. And I agree with that. But if you're within this business.
Right.
Now I'm not saying he needed to be. I wouldn't have probably ranked him top 50, but I wouldn't have been much further behind knowing what he did at SIU. I mean, I'm assuming there's just a lot of big names with other colleges, D1 colleges, that were transferring to where I could probably go down the list and say, no, I'd put DeMass behind him.
Ranked higher than him.
That's all you had to say. No, but I mean, I just, if you're kind of an expert in the field, if you will, you missed on that one, but I'll let it slide this one time.
Yep.
I bet Xavier. Where was Lance Jones?
Good question. I think it was like 210th.
Holy
on Evan Maya.
Wow.
That was a miss as well. AJ Storr was like right behind Damask, like 120th or something like that. And he came from St. John's.
I was going to say. Now, Lance Jones has been more of a fit. Hold on. Let me start this over. He's been more of a nice piece for Purdue, whereas DeMask has been more of a major role for Illinois. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I mean, Jones has been a piece, and he's good. He'll get you. He's a dog, man. He'll get you 3-4 steals. He'll guard the best player. He'll hit a couple of open threes. He went to the perfect spot. Everybody sucks down on Edie. Boom, Lance Jones wide open for a three. And they like defense at Purdue. And so Lance Jones was built to be a Boilermaker. I'll put it that way, it seems like. But to me, he's a nice piece on a really good team. Marcus DeMask is a key piece on a really good team.
No doubt. Someone asked, where was Andre Curbelo? He was 72nd, number 72 overall. He's got Marcus beaten ejections this year, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, Lindy's a good point. When Zach Edey's on your team, everyone is just a piece.
That's true.
Although Braden Smith is...
He's been
Braden Smith is more than that.
He's good.
He's
man.
Been fantastic.
I wonder how much his assists go down next year. From just... Surely he's got three or four where he just throws it in.
You don't think they'll find a 8-foot Monstar somewhere?
Probably.
They have a 7'3 freshman coming in. Just to warn everybody.
309. Come on, Lon. The MVC is not very good.
Disrespectful.
That's just a slap in the face. I don't know. Would you take Marcus Damask? And his... That seems pretty good to me.
Kyle, where would you put Damask nationally? Not saying you have to have an exact number, but is it fair to say he's a top 10 transfer?
Oh, for sure.
Is he a top 5?
Is he the best transfer Illinois has ever had?
Terrence Shannon's up there.
Oh, I forgot about Terrence. He's number
Kenny
two.
Kenny Battle was a transfer, right?
I'm sorry. Okay, yes. But I'm thinking like in this just since the portal started.
He'd be Terrence. Two behind Terrence.
Yeah.
Top five, I don't know. I'd have to look at a list of transfers because like you have your Hunter Dickinson.
Hunter Dickinson is probably above him.
Dalton Connect. Yep. Cam Spencer I would probably put above him. He's
Harrison
on the
Ingram,
one team.
Would you put him above him?
I don't think so.
Connect's been good.
Ingram's more of a role player with Davis and Baycott, yeah. Ray J. Dennis?
I don't think I'd put Ray J. above Marcus.
What are his stats?
He's averaging 13-6, I think I saw.
Is that right? Where'd he go?
Baylor.
Oh, that's right.
He's had an unbelievable amount of turnovers this year. Yeah, 13, close to 7 assists, shooting 38% from 3, about 50% from the field. But he is averaging, like, Curbelo-like, 3.5 turnovers a game. He had a game against Houston, which we know Houston is very, very athletic and good at turning people over. But they played an overtime game. He had 8 turnovers in that game.
Oh, wow. That's the one team I'll let him do that against.
He had 6 at Kansas, 6 against Iowa State. 6 earlier in the year against Michigan State. 6 is a lot of turnovers.
That is a lot.
7 against Auburn.
That's when you're getting noticed.
Yeah, it's a lot of turnovers.
Lance said Love.
Caleb Love.
Yeah, I think I'd probably have him above Damask.
All right.
It's a good call.
I'll settle at top 10, though.
I agree. Randy asked if Edey has another year of eligibility. He actually does, right?
He does. COVID. John Rothstein's reported. Has anybody confirmed that?
That he's gone? That
he's
going
to but I think it came directly from Edey, if I'm not mistaken. So,
does he get drafted second round?
He's been projected to get picked in the second round.
Okay. That's crazy, isn't it? Will he be 2-time player of the year?
Yes.
And then he'll be a second round draft pick in the NBA.
Isn't that nuts?
Like, I get it. I get it. I get it. I go through this every year, but it's just funny. It's like, hey, so college basketball, who's your player of the year? This big 7'4 dude from Purdue. Oh, we'll take him with a flyer pick in round 2. Okay. And I totally get why. I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine that he can't be impactful for some NBA team.
You'd think he would be.
He hits free throws. He rebounds well, obviously. Yeah. 15 a game or whatever.
You can throw it in the post. Even if, like you're mentioning with rebounding, at the offensive end, you don't even have to run something to him. He can just
throw it to him.
You could throw it to him, or he'll just corral a missed shot and dunk on somebody.
That's amazing. I don't know.
Don't want to get him in switches on
defense. No.
He'll have to play drop coverage.
Mm-hmm. It's really all about that now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's your defense. It's the NBA... What's your average score in the NBA now? I literally never watch it.
120.
Oh, so they are up there now.
115, 120, right?
So this is a league.
I'm just guessing, but.
A league that preaches that wants defense, yet they're back up to the 80s style of each team scoring 115 plus. Because didn't they go through?
I think the Celtics just beat the Warriors yesterday, like 140-88 or something like that.
Wasn't there a stretch? There was a stretch for a few years where games were like 90-88, it seemed like. I don't pay enough.
The 90s had a lot of.
Yeah, that was like that's what I'm thinking.
For sure. 90s into early 2000s.
I don't know.
115 is the average NBA score
okay.
this year.
So that's a pretty
almost good. As much as an Illinois game.
Right. 105 versus Minnesota. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What did Wisconsin end up with?
83.
Did that do anything for our defensive metrics?
Made them a little worse. Illinois is now really? Outside of the top 100 on KenPom for defensive efficiency. Mm-hmm. I know you were just quizzing me. You knew that.
I knew that, yeah. But I'm making sure you're on top of things. Well, I don't know. Does Purdue score that many points? Are they? They do, don't they?
Their efficiency is the second in the country on offense. They can put it up. They might play a little bit slower pace-wise than Illinois or thereabouts. I don't know what their average points per game is. They put up the last few games, 80 against Michigan State, 84 against Michigan, 96 against Rutgers, 69 in the loss to Ohio State, 84, 79, 75.
Okay.
Not nearly as much, but if you get them in a little bit more of a high-paced game, then I think they could score more than that.
Okay. Purdue just screams at me as the team that wants to play half-court offense.
Of course.
Yet, if you're scoring 96, there's some transition in there. You simply don't get enough half-court offense looks to score 96 points unless you knock in 33. Maybe not 30. Which they can do with Lawyer and Smith's not much of a three. But Lawyer
He's
and
shooting
Jones.
It really well.
Oh, is he
Smith's
really?
Shooting 44%.
Oh, I didn't know. From the three?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, never mind, Kyle.
I was surprised when I saw that, too.
Yeah. I mean,
Jones is shooting.
Yeah, and then Jones. Yeah. I didn't
Gillis
think.
Gillis can shoot it.
Yeah. That's the guy that'll beat you, won't it?
He can.
I mean, it's that guy that'll come off and he'll have like three big threes at just right when you needed them. Illinois starts a little run, and then Mason Gillis hits a three, and you're like, really? Really? You?
You'd imagine that they want to play him a lot, right, because he would be a body they could throw on Terrence and not have Fletcher Lawyer guard him.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Sal, 80s was like rugby with Detroit, the Pistons.
No doubt. I'd have to go back and watch the game from January, but certainly Terrence was not part of that game, but I guess that kind of makes the point moot, though. So, like, I'll have to go back and watch it. Oh, wait, Terrence wasn't playing. I wonder, though, would Lance Jones guard him? Or is he too?
Who's guarding Damask, then?
See, I think
Lance guarded Damask in the first game. I know that changes things with Terrence.
I think that's who Jones stays on.
On Damask?
Yeah. Jones isn't quick twitch, necessarily. He wants to be that guy, but he's not necessarily. I think he's better with Damask. He can body him a little bit, stay with him. I don't know who guards Shannon. Gillis?
That's what I was thinking.
That makes sense.
Now, Damask had a heck of a second half isolated on Lance Jones and Purdue.
Well, maybe they get him off of him.
And part of that was Illinois spacing out the floor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
and
let's
not
get to
having
that.
Ty Rogers on the court. We had a couple of questions about that. Wade asked, do you think Harmon plays more than Ty so Coleman brings Edie away from the basket? And then we also had a 3-1-9. Does Brad start Ty Rogers tomorrow? I'd imagine he will start, but I think our best shot at success is to space Purdue out, to pull Edie away from the basket, let Shannon and Damask go to work.
I think Ty starts. I don't think he plays as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to see a Purdue team get up 12-0 like Wisconsin did on you. I know a little bit different circumstances.
Bigger than that last game.
That's right. And I know this is at home, and sometimes that doesn't always go that way. You're more, in other words, you usually don't have that happen when you're at home, right? Unless you're just really bad. Yeah, I guess I'd start Ty and see what Purdue's going to do and then completely. But if he starts, why wouldn't Edie guard him?
He will. He should.
I mean, he should, right?
I think that one interesting note, and Joey Wagner, I got to give him a little credit here because him and I we had a lot of hours of chat on the drive to and from Madison on Saturday. But one thing that Brad could use, even if he was, I'm not saying that he would have to like try to game this starting lineup to you know, not hurt Ty's feelings or whatever, but it is senior day. You could say maybe I want to start Justin over Ty, get the senior day nod. That could play into it.
I had the same thought the other day.
Did you?
You know what? And a 217 just said that. Late to the show, I think Harmon will get the start since it's senior night. I think Wagner's. Is that Wagner's phone number?
What's up, Joey? So then you could start all five seniors.
I like that.
Harmon, Terrence, Guerrier, Damask, Coleman.
Yeah, I like that.
I think it's better for you anyway. Now, one of the counters is that then in a bench group, you're bringing both Ty and Dane in. But maybe, I don't know. I think you try, and for you to be the most successful, we saw it in the second half.
Yes.
You want Edie to guard a shooter
for
as much as possible of the game and to be on Coleman for the most part. Now, Edie didn't really hurt you in the last game. His season low is 10 points against Illinois in early January.
That's crazy.
He was in foul trouble and didn't get a whole lot going in that one. So I definitely think you want.
I think that's a no doubt. You start Harmon.
Yeah.
And I don't worry. I get what you're saying about the bench, but after 12 minutes, right, then it's just who's playing together.
Right.
But yet it's still, I get where you're going there. Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense.
Yep.
To play the seniors.
Well, and
or to start the seniors, I'm sorry.
Also, Ty's coming off a rough game.
Yeah.
And Max Klesman drove him to the rim a couple of times. Ty really has not been defensively what I thought he would be this year. Offensively, he's gotten back to being a little too hesitant around the basket. Mm-hmm. Now, one of his attempts was like a rocket launcher off the backboard, not to dog him too much, but it's just he hasn't played all that well. And I know that he provides rebounding. I know in the first game against Purdue, one of maybe the arguments for keeping Ty out there is because Illinois was getting killed on the offensive glass.
Right.
And Ty does provide you some rebounding, but yeah, it's just you're giving Edie a pass by letting him sit there in the rim at the rim, and we know Ty doesn't really want to shoot those shots sometimes, and even if he does, Edie makes those attempts around the basket that much harder. So make him guard in space, no doubt.
How does Ty Rogers' career end with Illinois? You know what I'm saying?
It's a good question.
Is he always kind of that, I don't want to say an anomaly, but is he kind of that? Maybe that is the right word. I don't know. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's kind of unique.
He is.
In the sense that he's a guard that can rebound as well as a big man, but he can't shoot.
He can't shoot at all.
And while you've had guys that couldn't shoot before, those guys also couldn't, you know, go down and get you seven offensive rebounds like Ty Rogers can. And Ty, while we keep wanting more defensively, I think we'll give you that as he gets older, as he gets stronger. Not that he's not strong now, but just the progression you make in growing up and getting a junior, then becoming a junior, becoming a senior. I think Ty is going to be fine when it comes to all of that. I think defensively he'll be fine. I think he'll continue to rebound. But, you know, is he just like a no-brain starter for the next 2 years? And
not necessarily, no.
Yeah.
I think that I'm encouraged that his free throw percentage has gone up, which shows that they've been able to find something workable with his shot. Now, it's different to shoot a jump shot than shoot a free throw.
Right.
I know that it sounds like, you know, the release and everything is something that can translate to, obviously, when you take a jumper. But it still looks a little awkward because he, like, goes falling over the line when he does shoot it and whatnot. And I'm not going to pretend like I'm in practice every day, but when I do go for interviews and stuff, like I've seen him go through individual workouts where he doesn't take a jump shot. Like all of his work is getting inside, maybe booty balling somebody, and then, you know, having the pivots, which he does well with his pivots and his finishes and all that. But he's not practicing a 10-foot pull-up jump shot or anything like that. And the fact that he's just not willing to shoot it and they're not working on it. I know that you can, in a summer, try to rep that. I just don't know that's going to come around for him. Maybe it does, but it's not a guarantee. I'll throw this back to you. You have a better memory of what he was as a player, but is he a little Serge-like? Like, did Serge ever shoot a jump shot? I mean,
not much.
You got the physicality. I know Serge is a little bit more heavier set than
he was heavier set. Ty, but Serge could shoot it a little, but you know, his senior year, he was almost a triple double. You know, he'd get you enough points. He'd get to the line. He seemingly would always lead you, or at least his stat line always showed solid rebounds, solid assists. And I think that's the big difference maybe between Serge and Ty. I mean, Sergio was a really good player.
Yeah, he was.
And so I think he had the ability to knock down a shot much better than Ty at this point in his career. And Serge just had intangibles. I can't explain it. He was just a winner. I mean, he was just a winner. Not that Ty isn't, but no, I definitely... Bill says a good point here. Ty's days of defending point guards will be gone or will be over after this year as well. I mean, it seemed like Serge, and maybe Ty will develop into this, Sergio could guard the five if he needed to. Because he was so thick that he could, you know, who was, I mean, EJ Liddell a little bit. I'm not comparing those two together. But in terms of being able to defend a five, you know, he was thick enough that he could do it. You didn't really want him to. And, you know, the game's changed, too. The game has changed where it used to be, you know, more just push the ball down to the big guy. And just things have changed a little bit. But, yeah, I don't know. I just – when I watch Ty sometimes, I always wonder, like, what is his future?
I do think he needs to get back to being a Swiss Army knife forward.
Mm-hmm.
And some of – maybe some of his development has gotten – I don't know, just trying to fit into, like, the fact that they repped him at point guard a lot during the...
Yeah.
He hasn't been that. They're not even playing him on the ball and having him bring it up against pressure or any... He's not even bringing it up, period. Marcus Damascus turned into your point guard,
and,
so...
And Brad said that after the game versus Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Heath brought up Robert Bennett. He was more of a power forward. Not a tall guy, but a strong kid. Number 30, Robert Bennett. I think he was 30. It's just strange. Like I can't plug Ty anywhere.
I know. But what do you think, Kyle?
I don't know. I've always in my mind penciled him in as a guy that's going to start the next 2 years.
Sure.
I do feel like he has a lot of room to grow, though, and it is tough because the fact that, I mean, I don't think anybody expects that he's ever going to be able to shoot in any, in any regard. And that limits kind of the lineup you can put around him.
That's the thing.
I already got questions with him and Marez.
If you're going to depend on him to be a 30-plus minute starter for your program, you have to be very careful about the rest of the lineup you put around him because of his limitations. And like you said, you already got a guy in Marez Johnson who might be a questionable fit. It's interesting. It's an interesting question.
And yet
I think
he seems like Brad's guy.
Yeah.
Right? He seems like the guy that Brad appreciates as much as anybody on that team. I don't know.
It's interesting.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of interesting, we did get another question about Luke Goody's walking tomorrow night for senior night. I know it was put out, and we'll play Brad Underwood's audio tomorrow, but I wasn't there, but I saw the tweets from Joey Wagner, Jeremy Warner, Brad saying that because he's graduating early from the College of Business, Geese, that they are going to honor that, and it's a unique accomplishment, so they're going to let him get honored for senior day. But,
that's
of course, it's going
to
bring about the questions of what does that mean?
Well, last year he had no problem coming on our show and saying, I'm coming back next year. So maybe we'll put it to him.
All right.
All right. Let the firestorm begin if he dances around it
or if he says no.
I mean, I think that's how we asked the question this week is,
all right,
Luke, when everybody was talking about portal and leaving and such, you came out and said, I'm going to be here next season. Are you ready to say that again? I mean, it naturally brings that thought up.
Yeah.
And it should. It should in your mind with today's, the way the game is today and the way kids transfer. I want to make sure we shut up so we can hear these guys. But certainly, you know, Luke gave up a lot last year. He gave up an entire year of playing for essentially to give Illinois, what, 12 games?
Yep.
I think he ended up playing a little bit more than that, but not much. Maybe not much more than that.
I think that's about right.
And I know he wanted to play in an NCAA tournament. That was important to him, and obviously he'll do that again this season. But you've seen his minutes go down big time.
10 games last year.
Oh, 10, okay. And he gave up an entire year where he could have. Now, but this is also, and I think sometimes, you know, I a lot of times laugh at the student-athlete term because to me, most, it seems, are here. Not most, a lot are here, especially now for NIL. They want to get paid, and they're here to better themselves for the next level, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that be whatever sport. Now, the majority are student athletes. I mean, you know, in other words, they're here to get that degree and they're not going to end up playing a professional sport in whatever it is. But you have to admire the fact that after 3 years, Luke Goody is going to graduate from an accomplished business school that is one of the more accomplished business schools in the country, and Geese Business School. To be able to do that, I can't imagine that. That's 3 years doing that.
It's impressive.
Taking finance and whatever else you want to throw out there, probably classes I never even thought about taking or dreamed that I would even come close to taking. So to be able to do that in 3 years, maybe he wants that to be known. Maybe that's an accomplishment that he says, hey, I literally graduated. So take me through senior night.
Mm-hmm.
But it is senior night for a reason. That's usually it's you've been here 4 years or it's your final year of eligibility. Now, would Luke be able to play? Is he a COVID?
He's in one of the, he's in that first group
that doesn't,
that get, doesn't
get
a COVID year and really kind of gets screwed, I think.
Yeah.
Because there are guys, and look, Illinois is, we've talked about this before. Illinois has benefited. Marcus Dumas has benefited. I think it's all within the current realm of college basketball. I'm glad that Marcus got to have this year at Illinois.
Sure.
I'm glad Illinois got to bring them in, like Quincy and Justin. But Luke is one that has gotten overlapped where Matthew Meyer comes in last year, had already played 4 years.
That's a great point.
Got a COVID year, gets to come in and play in front. And, you know, Damask and these guys this year. And then Illinois can go in the portal again and get some more COVID year guys who are 24 years old. And there are guys who are going to apply for another year when they're like 25 and whatnot. Some of these guys need to move on. Luke didn't get that. Luke then sacrificed a year playing last year. I'm not making – like, Luke could play – Luke could needs to improve some areas of his game to then obviously
– No doubt.
Earn more than 5 minutes at Wisconsin or more than 3 minutes against Minnesota, although I know he's banged up. Mm. So I'm not going to rag on him because he's got an ankle. But there is there's that too, that I think the urgency obviously is ramped up on Luke where – he really only has one more year where there are guys his age that would still have two more years based on the circumstances.
And let's be honest, based on what he's done most of the season, you're going to try to recruit over him.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
You're not – I would be surprised if you're penciling him in as a starter already next year.
Yeah.
And you can maybe say the same thing about Ty, too.
That's no doubt.
This offseason is going to be wild.
It will be.
I'm not quite ready for it.
No. I'm not ready to talk about it, but I'm – We need to shut up so we can hear Coleman and Marcus. Kyle's always –
Coleman Hawkins spoke to the media. Marcus Dumas spoke to the media. You're going to want to hear that. To hear that, we need to stop talking, so we'll do that now. This is The Drive.
On the air, at least.
Are you tired of shivering in the winter? Look no further than your local heroes at ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. Hi, this is Gina inviting you to give us a call at 217-352-5400 to book your appointment to make sure your furnaces run safely and efficiently this winter. We've been proudly locally owned and operated and have been serving our community for over 50 years. ABC, always be comfortable. Call me, 217-352-5400 to book your appointment today or go to ABC Heating and AC.com.
Have you ever wondered why you pay your bank to have a checking account with them? We do too. At Fisher National Bank, we offer free checking accounts that reward you to bank with us. Our Rewards Cash Back Checking offers 2.02% cash back on debit card purchases up to $500 monthly. No service fees or balance requirements needed to earn rewards. For a free checking account that pays you back, simply make 12 debit card purchases, receive electronic statements, and have one direct deposit within a monthly cycle. It's so simple. We bet you're doing most of these things already. With Rewards Cashback Checking, you have access to Reward Saver, which earns 4.07 annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000. Reward yourself with free rewards cashback checking and reward saver. A few of the many ways Fisher National Bank invests in our customers. See monthly requirements at any branch or fishernational.com. Fisher National Bank. Exceptional communities. Exceptional people. Member FDIC.
By now, you've all heard the expression, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 for PDR Automotive. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. But who are they? They, the PDR staff, understand that a name is only as good as the people that represent it. The PDR staff has more than 335 years of combined automotive experience, several employees now on staff for more than 25 years. PDR, more than just a name. Family owned and operated, now celebrating over 50 years in business.
Hi, this is Chris Jackson with Kramer Siding and Window. And whatever your project, you can count on Kramer Siding to offer you the best products backed by the best warranties in the business and a lifetime of great customer service. And right now, you can save 10% on roofing, sunrooms, and decks, get 15% off gutter helmet, and you can save 25% on preservation siding, windows, and doors. So call today or visit us at KramerSiding.com and let's get started on your project.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
Thank you for choosing Two Men in a Truck. How may I help you?
Hey, we're moving, and I have a strange situation here. We need to be out of our house by 10 a.m., but our closing on the new house isn't until 1 p.m. Is that something you guys do?
That's not strange at all. Two Men in a Truck has completed over 9 million moves. We have a solution for that.
Not sure how your move is going to work? Go to twomeninatruck.com to start your free estimate. Twomeninatruck.com.
Hey, could you tell me what aisle your car batteries are in?
Sure, I'll go grab one for you. Here's your battery. It might be expired, but oh well. Also, the brand isn't that great, but it should work for at least a year or two, maybe. Anyways, I went ahead and charged you for it, and here's the battery. Okay, have a great day.
What just happened?
Sometimes good things are hard to find, but they're worth the wait. Make the trip out to Interstate All Battery Center at 2504 North Mattis Avenue and get all of your battery needs taken care of by the trusted professionals. Give them a call today at 355-4855.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Whether you want to travel, move to a warmer climate, or invest in a hobby, you have dreams for retirement. Whatever they may be, the experts at Busey Wealth Management recommend saving 10 to 15% of your annual income to help you achieve those. Now, what is the best savings choice? Well, a 401k or an individual retirement account. A 401k is an employer-sponsored retirement savings plan. And while it's great to start planning for your future, the 401k might not be enough to accumulate the savings you need. Consider an individual retirement account or an IRA. It actually offers specific tax benefits. Now, there's two types. What are those, Lon? Well, the first is the traditional IRA that allows your investment earnings to grow tax deferred until you decide to take it out and then you pay the taxes. Or there's the Roth IRA that is actually taxed as you put money into it and then the earnings can be withdrawn tax-free. With both traditional and Roth IRAs, you can open an account anytime and you can make annual contributions to both of those. If you're trying to decide between one of those, utilize the financial calculator in the resource center on Busey.com, or I've got a better idea. Just get a hold of Busey or go visit one of their Busey Wealth Management professionals. They'll decide for you which one is best. Give them a call, 1-800-67-BUSEY, member FDIC. Coleman.
Coleman, what are the emotions? I know you can have one more year, but what are the emotions of senior night?
Honestly, I haven't really thought about it at all. hasn't really hit me. I'm sure it will hit me tomorrow, but right now I'm just happy to be here, happy to be at practice, so, yeah.
You're a four-year guy. What's that? What's been the value of that for you?
I feel like there's a lot of trust there from Coach. I'm sorry, I just ate pretzels. Sorry. A lot of trust from Coach. You know, I'm kind of well-known here in Champaign now. You know, just been a part of a lot, a part of history now. So, you know, it means a lot to be here for 4 years and be in a community that, you know, shows a lot of respect and a fan base that really cares about you. And it's been a quick but great 4 years. It really went by fast. It really did. So. Yeah.
Going through ups and downs, like what do you gain from that? You know, not leaving, staying through.
I think it's just like shows a little bit of respect. I didn't quit. Didn't quit on my coaches. Didn't quit on my teammates. And just showing, you know, I always have my trust in Illinois. And I think it just goes to show like what it means to me to be here. And just facing adversity and getting through it. Like I said, I just never quit, so.
Coleman, you've become a fan favorite here, especially with the student section. What do you think it is about your personality on the court that kind of endears you to the fans?
I think I'm just easy to, like, get along with. In the past years, I think they just, like, liked how I played. I was kind of always different a little bit than what we've had, because, you know, Coach has been able to throw me around a little bit everywhere. I think they just like my personality, like things I say on social media, and like how I've always just like been ride or die for Illinois. So, yeah.
Well, it seems like to hear you say you haven't really thought much about tomorrow, like we know you think like a lot. So have you intentionally tried to like block out the thoughts, or has it just been in the course of a season you not really had a second to sit down and reflect?
Nah, not really. Like it's just been throughout the season. Like it just went by so fast. Like it feels like. Like just yesterday, it was the first game, it just goes by so fast. Like it hasn't even hit me yet. I don't know. I'd say last year, because last year I didn't really think I was coming back. It didn't really hit me until like I started the draft process, and I was like leaving school a little early to start like pre-draft. I was like, dang, like it's really over now, but it really hasn't really hit me. I just been kind of focused on each game and everything like that. So
what's it meant to have that extra year you maybe didn't expect to have?
It's cool, especially knowing that, you know, you can make money either way, either career path you choose, whatever you choose for yourself. So it's kind of comforting in a way, definitely comforting. That you know you have another place to go. It's just two tough decisions.
The feedback you got going through that draft process last year, do you feel like you've shown some things on the court this year that will impress some of the scouts?
I think my three-point shooting, but that's always just been there for me. It's really just been a mental thing. I feel like I've been pretty limited defensively, only because my knee, it still bothers me, but, you know, I played through it. I haven't been able to jump well at all. I've been very limited this year. When I first came back, I felt good, but, when you're constantly running and jumping and doing the same movements, you know, the stuff kind of catches up to you, so I've been kind of limited defensively, but I think we all know, you know, I can still make plays. Pass the ball, but I think from a scoring standpoint, I think that's one of the biggest things right now.
Brad kind of talked about
the three one-year guys, the older guys that came in as transfers. How did you approach that and feel like that was going to be a good fit?
Yeah, I mean, I'm never the type of guy to feel threatened at a position because I feel like I can play with anybody at any position. I was trying to get centers on board. I was trying to get shot blocking guys on board. You know, I was never like, I need to be the small ball five. Like, but no, seeing Marcus come in, you know, I worked out with him a little bit in Orlando. I didn't know what his game would be like, but they showed me like some tapes. and I watched some of his clips, and I knew that he was he could score the ball really well. You know, I watched Quincy play against Wisconsin and them. Saw Quincy play a bunch of times at Oregon. So I was familiar with his game, his rebounding, his athleticness. You know, I knew he was another forward that could be really good for us. And then obviously I knew Terrence and then Justin. And, you know, I didn't know much about Justin, but I did remember him from Utah Valley watching him. I knew he scored the ball well. And then I actually did a workout with Justin with my a guy who changed me up in Chicago. So I was able to get familiar with his game. We became friends, like, really quickly. So, now the impact they had on me is great because they're just older and they don't pout at all. We have a good time every time we're in the locker room, every time we're on the court. And they've been really, like, just ever since, like, they got here, I've just been comfortable around them, and they've been really good guys. So I'm super proud of what they've done in a short amount of time here. And, you know, these are guys that I can look at 10 years from now, and I can call up and have trust in them and hold a conversation with them. So.
Brad talked about, like, all the guys that are going through senior night all had kind of unique, different paths through that moment. But how did maybe it all come together this year?
I think it's been good. I know. I think we let a couple games slip, and we can make excuses. But I think we've done a good job because everybody's had something that has been a distraction for them. But it's hard to even tell. You know, like with me, with my knee, sometimes I just feel like I can't, like, play like how I used to play, like rebound, block shots, get some dunks here and there, rim run really well. You know, Quincy's hand, his wrist has been messed up, you know, what Terrence has gone through. And, you know, there's been so much stuff that behind the scenes that nobody knows about that we've fought through and challenged ourselves to get through and stay locked in with. So, I'm super proud of the guys, just the way we've handled ourselves this season, for sure.
What's been the value of having a dad who's been through this, or your sisters have been through college experience? Like, what's that?
It's been good because you can't make excuses for yourself. Like, I can't sit on the phone and say, oh, well, this is happening, and I want to go home, and because that's never going to fly with my dad because he's, like you said, he's done it. My sisters have all done it, so there's no one to run to try to sit and complain about stuff. You know, I'm going to have to get through things. I'm going to have to hear about their experiences. So, you know, it's been good just to be kind of held accountable and know that, you know, they could do it, I could do it. You know, a lot of people get homesick and cry about this and that, but that's really never been the case for me. And, you know, they all understand where I'm coming from, too. They have consideration. You know, they're not blowing up my phone asking me for stuff. They're not asking for this and that. They respect me. They respect what I'm doing, and they respect my time. So it's really good to see that, you know, they love me and they support me kind of out the way.
Those 10 years down the road, how do you think you'll view your relationship with Coach Brad Underwood?
I think I'll look back and just be like, you know, I think I'll have more of an understanding of what he has always tried to do for me, the messages he's always tried to put out for me, and just have a better understanding. Because even from freshman year to now, you know, I've been able to build a better relationship and just get an understanding of his coaching style. You know, sometimes I look at the dude and I'm like, what is he doing? But now I like understand what he's trying to do and all the messages he's trying to put out there for you. And I feel like, you know, even further down the line, I have a better relationship with him. And he's a person I think I can depend on in the future for sure. So.
Is your birthday in this month? Get ready to celebrate. Clay Dooley Tire and Auto is gifting you a free oil change during your birthday month. That's right, a special treat to keep your wheels spinning smoothly. Don't miss out on the incredible birthday offer as you schedule your complimentary oil change at Clay Dooley Tire and Auto on South Neal Street in Champaign. Call 217-352-4286.
Truman, trusted your friends and family. Make a difference in your community and start a rewarding career when you join the Regional Planning Commission's Early Childhood Education Team. The RPC will be interviewing for open positions within the program during a hiring event Thursday, March 7th at 1603 East Mumford Drive in Urbana. The event runs from 9 a.m. to noon. Attendees are encouraged to bring their resumes and references. It's a hiring event for early childhood education. March 7th from 9 a.m. to noon, 1603 East Mumford Drive in Urbana. Learn more at ccrpc.org.
This is State Representative Adam Niemer coming to you with an important message. Far left special interest groups are targeting me because I am standing up for you. I was removed from the ballot over a clerical error, just like what they're trying to do to President Trump, and like him, I'll never surrender. I am pro-life, pro-family, and pro-Second Amendment. I am proud to be one of seven to vote against allowing illegals to become police officers. I am in the fight of my life, and I need your help. Please write me in, Adam Niemer, for State Representative in the 102nd District on your primary ballot. Paid for by committee to elect Adam Niemer.
Since Busey Bank first opened our doors in 1868, we have built upon a tradition of close relationships and broad financial capabilities. Our experienced team provides the highest level of personalized service to ensure we accomplish your goals, simplifying your wealth management and business lending needs, and ensuring a legacy for generations. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weaver's, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he had a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
The emotions like for you, Marcus, going into senior day tomorrow, and I guess what's this place meant to you for a 1 year stop?
Yeah, in my 1 year, you know, it's been really good to me. You know, I've met a lot of good people in the program, outside the program, so it's been a really good time. You know, obviously I haven't been here too long, but, you know, my time here has been really enjoyable.
Do you feel like you got to be a part of the culture here, as opposed to just a 1 year stop for some basketball?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I felt like everybody kind of took me in like I, you know, grew up here my whole life. You know, I really felt the love from everybody here, and, you know, I felt like, you know, I was a part of the community.
If you could go back to the recruiting process, it seems like Coach Underwood and the staff like identified early that you were a fit and really pushed it to get you here. Like, what do you remember about their approach? And like, anything stand out about the just intentionality to have you fit what they want?
Yeah, I think during the recruiting process, they just showed that, you know, like they really needed me here. You know, that was a key thing, just how much they, you know, really wanted me and felt like I could contribute. So I think that was just the most important thing that really stuck with me during that process.
I mean, what's that tell you when you can sense that from the coaches? Like, what's that tell you about them or about how serious they obviously were for you?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, you know, it makes me, you know, consider a school a lot more seriously. You know, there's obviously, you know, when you're in a portal that coaches are talking to a lot of different players. So you got to try to sift through, you know, what they're just kind of saying and what really like they mean, you know. So through that, you know, different coaches, you just got to kind of figure out like what's true and what's not, honestly.
What if you transfers, how do you think you guys kind of mesh together into a coach? Obviously,
yeah, you know, I think we did really good. I think when you bring guys, the transfers that are older, and that we're just focused on winning, you know, good things are going to happen. We didn't come in trying to get ours. We just came in as a collective group trying to win. And that's kind of how we created a bond and, you know, how our play on the court is done.
You feel like you had complementary skill sets within that group also? Is that a big part of it?
Yeah, I thought that, you know, the coaches went out and got guys that fit together, and, you know, everyone kind of has their role, and we just learn how to play off of each other.
Was it apparent to you early that maybe everyone did have that same mindset, that it's like, this is the one year to just win?
Yeah, I think I found out, I would say, in the summer during open gyms, just through conversations on the court and off the court there, that, you know, this was a group that our collective mindset was winning, you know, and that was kind of refreshing to hear from my teammates.
Do you feel like against Purdue, you guys are different from that first matchup at West Lafayette?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we have TJ, so, you know, that's a completely different dynamic for our team. You know, he brings a lot to us, so, and I think outside of just TJ, you know, a lot of us have gotten a lot better. So I think we're a completely different team than we were the first time around.
Marcus, is it accurate to kind of suggest that when you were in the portal, there was a big question of what can I do if I get to, you know, this type of program or this type of level? Was that part of your thought process at all?
A little bit. I think for me, you know, I had confidence that, you know, what I had worked on and, you know, just my success I had at the mid-major level would carry over. You know, I think basketball is basketball at the end of the day. You know, it's the same set of rules. So I think that, you know, just the confidence I had in my ability and the work I put in was going to transfer over.
From that angle, though, like, it seems like a lot of guys like you have kind of sacrificed something by being on this team and kind of winning. And how have you guys kind of molded that and felt that?
I mean, I think for me, I'm willing to sacrifice a lot to win. You know, I think winning solves everything, you know, so sacrificing whatever I need to, if that's going to make us win more games, that's what I'm willing to do.
Marcus, I'm backing guys down, of course, it's a big part of your game. What changes when you get a 7-4 guy like Zach Edey in the lane? Do you have to be aware of him at all times?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be aware. You know, he's 7-4, you're going to know where he's at in the court, so, you know, just kind of knowing where he's at, and then, you know, if he's sitting in the lane, we got shooters that we can space him out with, so we can't just sit there. If he does, I'll just spray to other guys.
Good to hear from Marcus Damask and also Coleman Hawkins, two guys that will be honored tomorrow night for senior night, along with also Quincy Guerrier, Justin Harmon, Max Williams, some managers as well. Will be a special night for those guys, and could be even more of a special night if Illinois pulls off that. I was going to call it an upset. I don't know what the spread will be.
Yeah. Probably I would assume Purdue what, by 5, 6? Yeah,
maybe less than that.
Okay. Man, winning that last game at home is always important.
Of course.
And not only that, though, to upset, what's Purdue ranked? Second?
Number two.
To upset the second rank, well, if it is an upset, to beat the number two team in the country for your final home game, that'll mean a lot to Coleman.
No doubt. We'll talk all about that tomorrow as we get you set for Illinois versus the Boilermakers. Appreciate everybody listening in. Everybody enjoy a great night. It's nice weather. And
do I have to be here tomorrow, right?
Yeah, you got to come tomorrow.
Oh, okay, because you guys, yeah, never mind. I'll be here.
Yep,
I'll be here. Two in a row, baby. That's the goal.
That's how you start a streak. Starting streaks and getting out late. Sorry, Kyle. All right, we're out, everybody. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow. This is The Drive.